Yankees win!
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
We lost a $900 million bid to buy the LA Rams.
Look, that contract extension was for $176 million.
The stadium will cost $1.1 billion.
Champions are made and cash always follows. But where did it all start? These are the true stories of the blockbuster sports deals that went down in the locker room, boardroom, and between the lines that made many people very, very wealthy. From Entrepreneur Media, this is The Playbook. I'm CEO of Sports One Marketing and your host, Dave Meltzer.
Today we have a special guest, the youngest doctor ever to be a team doctor in the NFL. He's not so young anymore, but he's a dear friend. This is Dr. David Chow, and he is an orthopedic surgeon. But moreover, he is an entrepreneur, and that's really, I really don't care about your doctor skills because they're so well known and you're way too expensive for me. I'm more interested in you really have a true business mind, which I think is rare for doctors because you guys spend so much time being trained at Harvard and all those great schools you went to. But Dave, give us a little perspective of how a doctor, a team doctor, and a famous orthopedic surgeon can turn that into truly an entrepreneurial venture and some of the things that you see that you're doing today that are different than your normal doctor that has a great practice.
Well, there's a lot of things to do. And of course, you know, the standard orthopedic practice. But now that I stopped just spending all the time with the team, and that was a lot of fun, but it took a lot of time. And you're right, I think I was very lucky. The first 9 years I did it, or actually the first 8 years I did it, there was at least one player on the team older than me. So it seemed fun. It was among friends. And the last 9 years, I did it for 17 years, there was nobody older than me at that point in time. But a lot of them felt like my little brothers, so it was fun. And then at some point...
like Warren Moon.
Yeah, at some point I got too old. Well, actually, I was a junior team physician when Warren was on the Vikings in 1994 and 5.
So you're definitely younger than Warren.
Yeah, at the time. But in any case, then since then, you know, lots of things from real estate adventures related to business that make sense for doctors. So you're not tenants all the time. Some business ventures with you and others. And then, of course, the media stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah, you know, and media is really important. And I'm looking at branding Dr. Chow, right? There's a whole extended arm to, you know, it's great to be a doctor and I'm sure it's fulfilling, but like anything else, as you do it for 20 years, you're looking for more out of your profession. I know you have a very unique skill set. And what I love is people take their normal practices, procedures, and pursuits in life, and they look at it and all of a sudden say, wow, even though the technology is far more advanced than for a younger generation, I can take advantage of it because these young people don't have what you and I have, which I call situational knowledge. And the skill set that I'm referring to is that you, through all these years of sitting on a sideline, watching TV, and being a surgeon and looking at injuries, you actually have an uncanny capability of watching a game and having an over 90-some percent correct ratio of saying that's a medial collateral ligament pull or the unhappy triad or an ankle high ankle sprain. How does that all occur? And can anybody do what you do? Because I haven't found it.
Well, you know, it's your craft, right? You're good at what you can do. And if you're an investor and you're a Shark Tank type guy, doesn't take you that long to figure out if this investment may work or may not. You can cut to the chase. And that's kind of what I did for 17 years. By happenstance, I'd see a guy on the field, on the sideline, in the locker room, the day after, have an MRI in my hand. But I took the extra step to go upstairs to the video room and review the injury video from the day before. So we visit with the video guys and sort of reverse engineer what happened. So from that, I started to learn, if you look at this, this is what the outcome is. So for 17 years, I looked at this is what the outcome is, and then I went back and looked at the video. So now I'm able to look at the video, and TV is really good this nowadays with 7 different replay angles. And if I get a good replay angle, you've been 95% correct. But I'm glad you're giving me all this credit. This whole media plan was a very, very well thought out on my part. So I had boy-girl twins, decided I couldn't do all this travel anymore, got married late in life and had the twins. And so I'm sitting on my couch for the first time in 17 years watching some of this stuff. And I look at an injury on TV and I'm literally talking to the TV saying, you know, that's not his ankle. He blew out his knee the step before, and this is why, you know, he hurt his ankle, whatever. And then the light bulb hit. The light bulb was actually my wife hitting me on the arm and saying, tell it to someone who cares. Stop telling me about the injury.
You're boring me, right?
You're boring me, exactly. So she's the one who actually signed me up for Twitter. I don't really even have a Facebook account. She signed me up for Twitter. I said, what's this? And I started playing on it. And then former athlete friends of mine started following, and it picked up steam. And now with Sirius, and now the latest thing is writing with the San Diego Union Tribune. And, you know, here I am. I've actually worked on the sideline medically for two Super Bowls. And for the last three Super Bowls, been media credentialed and there to, quote, cover it. And I call it the medical Mike Pereira.
Nice. I love it because minus the posse that follows me around, our careers have been very similar in the respect that, no, honestly, have been similar in the respect that we were, you know, good at our crafts. And then as we got older and later in our career, we now found this expertise of building our own brand. And it's fun for me because I go to, you know, different functions and parties and charitable galas and, you know, of course, love yours, the Taste of the Cove, to give back to the kids in San Diego that can't afford surgeries. But the cool thing for me is when people say, oh my gosh, you know Dr. Chow? Can you hook me up? And I, you know, whether they're playing fantasy, some of them gamble, and then even guys like at ESPN and Fox Sports, you know, they're asking me, hey, how can I get that inside information from Dave? And I know there's several really big names in the NFL and in the media that count on you to give them the quick, easy inside scoop.
That's been a very fun part of it. When I was doing the job as a team physician, I was doing it, and I didn't really pay a lot of attention to the media side of the world. But now that I'm out of the official role, I've actually enjoyed learning about the media side. And yes, it's a closed network, and I'm not going to name names, et cetera. But yes, a large number of national media people.
And head coaches.
Follow.
And head coaches, is that fair? Well, we don't use names. I've heard them reach out to me.
Well, bottom line is you know, and is that confidentiality is a big thing. But, you know, in the business world, in the media world, you exchange information. So often I have guys on a regular basis calling, what do you think about this? You know, this is what I got. How does this make sense? How long does this make sense? And a lot of followers. The other, and I guess, suppose one of the big compliments is that when a lot of people come up to me and say, oh, you're a great follower, I love your stuff, but I'd be sure not to tell any of my friends because I want to win my league.
Right, yeah. You know?
So that's been fun. And
I like the gamblers better because they just want to win the money. They don't care who they tell.
Right, and then the fun thing at the Super Bowl for me is that, you know, I get on the media buses and I always sit next to somebody, and it's always someone that's been following, and we get to know them and so forth. And the other fun thing at the Super Bowl is you're being so nice saying that you know me, but you know, whenever Dave comes through at the Super Bowl, there's this huge entourage, and whoever I'm talking to is like, hey, who's that? I said, oh, I know that guy.
You know, sometimes you got to create your own audience, and it works for me.
Before we continue the interview, here's a word from our sponsor. Champions have tools that help them win, ranging from the strict diets to the shoes they choose to wear. When they go to the boardroom, a single tool stands out to make sure they are productive and get the best deal possible. Their Black Moleskin Notebook from Best Self Company. Check out the Best Self Journal at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. Okay, let's get back to the interview.
The other part of our careers that parallel is that, you know, we both studied hard in school. You know, you went to the Harvard of the North. I went to Tulane, the Harvard of the South. And I don't have a chip on my shoulder just because all my siblings went to the Ivy Leagues. Don't worry. But you went to Harvard. You're an excellent student. Your career was, you know, catapulted from the time you graduated. You know, everyone, I'm from San Diego, and Dr. Butcher, the previous doctor of the Chargers, his kids were my friends, Richard Butcher, close friends, who also went to Harvard.
Yes.
And I was so jealous because, you know, as an academic and coming from the family I had with no chance of playing, you know, that was one of my dreams. If I was going to be a doctor, I wanted to be you. And we had all these successes, you know, real estate success, marriage success. We both outkicked our coverages. You have two beautiful kids. I have four. Thank goodness none of them are twins. I'm not sure how you handle that, being a surgeon.
Well, I actually have a new 3-month-old.
Oh, that's right.
And my wife tells me all the time she tells me, Dave, do you know how lucky you are? And every time I tell her, hun, how many times I got to tell you, it's not luck, it's skill.
Exactly.
She, true doctor. She doesn't know how to get mad at me at that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she's actually great.
And three is a good number. I slipped at number four, literally, baby oops. But my biggest thing was about the same time, we both had challenges in our career. And it's even harder to take when people question your credibility. You know, I lost an exorbitant amount of money, you know, and it was about the same time. It seemed to me there's an energy in the world in 2008 that people were going to blame, shame, and justification. So it was really easy to start pointing fingers because so many people were losing money. They weren't doing well, and it's negative energy creates more negative energy. And, you know, I love the way that you handled, you know, different accusations. You were close with Junior Seau. There was, you know, different accusations that somehow you contributed to, you know, some sort of, you know, malpractice with Junior. And the problem with the social media, we're taking advantage of it now. And I think that some of the education that I got from the negative media that we both got was, hey, wait a second. As much as they're lying about the false stuff, I can take advantage and put positive energy out there as well. How did you handle people questioning your stellar reputation in the community, charitable, business? You know, your Oasis Medical is incredible. And yet there was people out there going, oh yeah, you know, excuse my language because this isn't true. But like, I literally heard someone say, well, you know, Dave Chow killed Junior Seau. I'm like, nah, that's not what happened.
there's a lot of things that go on. And you know, whenever accusations are made and so forth, you have to look within yourself in terms of what you know did or didn't happen. And in the media world and in the loose lips world, a lot of accusations can be made. And unfortunately, a lot of times the accusations stay page one fodder and the exonerations are right on page, you know, D17.
If at all, right?
I mean, in my good friend Junior's case, for example.
And he was family. I know
he married my wife and I.
Right. I know
the year before he died. He was the officiant and best man at my wedding. And the bottom line is, you know, the coroner already exonerated that a long time ago. So, it, you know, to say someone did the right thing doesn't generate publicity. To say someone did the wrong thing. In my time with the Chargers, there's two things I regret. One is there were opportunities to win a Super Bowl and we didn't get it done.
Me too. I regret that. I don't blame you, though.
Yeah. And then the other is that we would, whenever something would come out in the media, the team would come to me and say, you're fine. We know it's all good and we love you and you're going to continue to be here with us. And so my employer was good. So I put my head on the pillow good at night and didn't worry about it. The problem is the accusation. So I never really responded. Right. I stayed above it. But unfortunately, nowadays, when you don't respond, it stays on Google forever. And that's actually part of what I'm doing in the media world, because as a doctor, you can't talk about and reveal HIPAA confidences about a patient. So that's one of my roles to say, well, you know, it may look like the doctor screwed up there, but this is actually probably the give and take in what happened. And it's sort of giving people a voice that, quite honestly, I never had. And as you've done in life, it's called opportunities. You know, none of this was a grand scheme plan. You know, you train and then opportunities present itself and then you have to take advantage of it. Your smartest day in your life can't be the day you graduate from medical school or residency. You have to keep learning about things going forward and adapting the lessons from before to new situations. And I think that's part of being an entrepreneur and doing what we do.
Yeah. And I think some of the things I totally respected throughout that process, because I, you know, saw that you were number one accountable. You were just accountable for what you did do and the effect that it had. And then two, you know, you illuminated when you found out that your silence, you know, was being a detriment online, because, you know, certain things stayed there as postings and it could be on some stupid blog from some guy in Florida that has no clue what really happened. And that happens all the time. But you illuminated, you know, this occurred. You weren't hiding from it from people. You said, look, this. And the best exoneration for you, David, and that I see is that all the media outlets support you or hire you, right? If any of it was true, right? The ones that were reporting the you know, accusations, you know, Union Tribune, I read articles in early on, right? They're now relying on you for credibility and integrity.
Yeah, they approached me over the summer and said, work for them. And so I was flattered and did it. And we've started it off and we've actually had two articles that are the number one read article on the Union Tribune. And so I made a comment to the editor and said, how many people can you say that you worked with authored a number one article and perhaps were the subject of a number one article,
right? So, yeah, I know. It is. And you know, what, you know, let's talk about.
In the end, cream rises to the top, just like you. You've had your ups and downs, but in the end, because you're doing quality work, you're going to rise to the top.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, I saw the Defiant Ones on HBO with Dr. Dre, and, you know, they talked about these regrets, and you gave me your two with the team. And, you know, we don't know what we don't know. So sometimes we think we're doing the right things by being quiet and not giving it energy, and it ends up hurting us, but we know for the future. You know, coming into the last question, two last questions I love. Number one, what's your biggest pet peeve? I love that question. A guy like you, what's your biggest pet peeve out there?
As a surgeon, we have a saying, measure twice, cut once. And so my pet peeve is when I've thought about something and addressed something, having it come back to the surface again. Like, you know, I have, time is limited in life. And so when I address something, I want to address it well. I want to handle the problem and have a solution and go down the path. I hate revisiting something halfway through. You know, give me all the information. I will solve the problem and move forward. But doing it twice is my pet peeve because it's a waste of time and energy.
Yeah. And that comes under effective communication. And then finally, the last question and my favorite is, you've done so much and you're still so young. You know, what legacy, you know, with all the things that you do, what legacy do you want to leave when it's all said and done?
Well, you know, with the risk of sounding corny, I used to say, you know, the leave the world a better place. But now that I'm a father of the 4-year-olds and the 3-month-old, a lot of it has to do with the twins and the new baby in terms of leaving a legacy for them and doing the right thing and being a role model for them. So I know it's a stock answer. And you know, when I was 30 and not having kids, I would be surprised I'm saying this, but that I think has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, having 4 kids of my own. I always say there's a few things in life that you never can explain to someone. You know, you could teach someone how to do surgery, you get techniques and all these great things in business. I can teach people how to make money and finance things and raise all these different, but the one thing I can't explain to anyone is what it feels like and how it changes you to have your own children. And it has a major, you know, Wayne Dyer, one of my favorite guys, you know, he says, change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And nothing will change the way you look at things more than a twin 4-year-olds and a 3-month-old, or for me, 3 daughters and a 7-year-old son. And, you know, Dave, we're going to do this again. We definitely are very heavily involved in branding Dr. Chow and Dave Chow, and very interested in the business, the insider business of sports. And we see you positioned not only as a fabulous surgeon, which everyone knows, but as a true entrepreneur. And you may find that all of that studying at Harvard, all of the years in medicine, you know, it's like that kid who practices being a DJ for all those years. I just see you as one of those guys. It's like, why did I ever mess around with a couple $1 million when I'm making 20 a year, well, telling people what's going on?
Before we sign off here, can I share my nickname?
Sure.
So my nickname for Dave in the sports and business world is Kevin Bacon. And Kevin Bacon is 6 degrees of separation. Dave is probably 1. It's like everyone I meet, like it's like 1 degree away, and Dave knows. And we've actually had a lot of commonality. So I call him Kevin Bacon.
I appreciate that. Well, this is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing. I am not just 1 degree of separation, but heavily connected to goodness over here. Dr. David Chow, this is Entrepreneur, The Playbook. Playbook is produced by Nathan Latka, and our media partner is Entrepreneur.com. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday when we feature another story on how a sports icon went from the playing field to the boardroom.